Rising food and fuel costs, fears of bacteria and pesticide-tainted vegetables, and high rates of obesity are all turning more people to farmers markets, food co-ops, and home gardens. But it's not always an easy road to hoe, says Amy Vickers.
I wanted a front yard where I didn't have to have chemical fertilizers. I didn't want to use a lawnmower. I wanted something that was organic, that was easy, that was more fun, and that was more productive.
Vickers lives in Homewood, where she owns the environmentally friendly Red Rain General Store. She sits in her shady front yard garden, surrounded by more than 100 varieties of locally grown herbs, flowers, vegetables, shrubs, and trees.
I suppose that I'm one of the only people in this area that could grow 100 varieties of things to feed myself and my family if I needed to. And some of the plants that I grow were my great-grandmother's and my great-great-grandmother's and my great-great-great-great-grandmother's.
Vickers loves that neighborhood kids hop off their bikes to grab handfuls of fruit. She also recalls an elderly man who walked up in her yard with a plastic bag as she sat hidden by vines on the porch. But some of her neighbors view the garden as an eyesore. When the city of Homewood threatened her with fines, Vickers sued in federal court to keep her garden intact. In June, they reached a settlement, but Vickers still believes the process is subjective.
If you have one person who has a complaint against you for really any reason, my understanding is they can go after you for anything if someone doesn't like it.
Vickers doesn't understand some of her neighbors' impulse to edge their lawn two or three times a week, to think of manicured grass as a status symbol. Plenty of people agree with Vickers. At the recent Birmingham Food Summit, they listened to a slate of speakers talk about developing strategies to promote local foods. Rows of tables displayed literature from groups such as Heifer International, People Helping People Farm, and Community Food Security Coalition. As participants mingled, nibbling on croissants and bagels, food systems expert Keisha Harris highlighted the issues.
We need to really ask ourselves some hard questions about where our food comes from, what we consider to be food, what types of health outcomes we want, what type of farming we want to support, and what does it mean now in the midst of the current gas crisis.
She wants people to not only buy food grown locally, but to grow their own food.
There might be resistance. I know for African Americans in particular, that's a really big challenge, thinking about food and food production, because we have such a traumatic experience around land and around farming. It is not as intuitive as one might think.
I would like this bunch of flowers. Is that for sale?
A new farmer's market has taken root in Tuscaloosa, on the lawn of the Episcopal Church, just off the University of Alabama campus. And on Thursday afternoons, you'll find Joe Brown and his wife Sarah selling organic produce at the market. They grow a luscious array of basil, squash, zucchini, and other veggies on their small farm, which they tend when he's not working at the university and she's not teaching school in Birmingham.
Yeah, we need a bag, unfortunately.
On this day, the Browns' friends, Andy and Rashmi Grace, are also their customers. They're shopping for the makings of a distinctly Alabama dinner.
The happy hour today?
Yes, sir. I think we want some squash.
All right, how about a whole basket here? $4.
That sounds good.
The Graces and the Browns aren't just casual consumers. Since April, the 20-somethings have been eating only food grown or raised in Alabama. Andy is a filmmaker, so he's documenting their experiment. Gathered at the Graces' home, a quaint cottage with gardens in the front and the backyard, they say it's been a challenge. Joe and Rashmi say they regret not having canned or frozen vegetables grown last spring because Alabama produce doesn't actually roll in till June and July.
The first month of the project, the only fruit any of us had was strawberries because that was the only fruit that was in season.
And we haven't had bread for 2 months. We started off with a can of 10-year-old wheat, and none of us could get it really ground fine enough to make bread or to get it to rise.
The group scoured the state for wheat, but learned most of what is grown is for animal, not human, consumption. Joe and Andy say their big wheat score came when a large-scale farmer allowed them to sneak a few pounds right off the combine.
To get grains, we've had to basically interrupt the agribusiness supply chain. Not everybody could do that. That wheat is grown under contract to big Midwestern firms. You take it somewhere, they mix it with grain from everywhere else, and then a lot of it is actually trucked back here to Alabama.
People just assume that if it's ground here or distributed here, that it's actually from here. But once you start asking questions, you realize pretty quickly that our foodways are a lot more complicated than that. You know, we're asking harder questions about what we're eating than I've ever asked about really any substantial portion of my life.
I don't even know as much about my own spiritual belief system that I know about where my breakfast came from, you know.
Alabama produces an incredible diversity of food, grains, dairy, potatoes, fruits, and vegetables. Farmers can grow 10 or 11 months out of the year, almost year-round agriculture. Still, Andy Gray says with the way the current agribusiness system works, it's not viable for every Alabamian to eat the way he, his wife, and friends are. Sarah Brown agrees.
One of the solutions would be, and I don't mean this in the hippie concept of the word, but food co-ops. For the four of us, we try to help each other. I live closer to the dairy, so I'll go and I'll buy a ton of it and then supply it to them when they need it.
They acknowledge not everyone can afford the freshly grown or certainly organic food. But in some instances, the fresh stuff is cheaper because it's traveled fewer miles. And, they argue, if you're only buying nutritious fresh foods instead of expensive processed foods, you're spending less money.
I just remember hearing all these stories about greens being such a staple of Southerners' diets, and they're just not anymore. You cannot find collard greens in the store right now. They're at the end of the season, but they're doing well right now, and we've got a refrigerator full of them.
I've often thought that our diet was straight out of the Grapes of Wrath, because we'll be cooking a dinner, and it'll be like collards, bacon, and cornbread. Some people might call soul food, but what is really just local Alabama food?
You have to make a decision. You have to say what's important to me. Do I want exactly what I want to eat? You can choose to eat goat cheese. You know, instead of having cow milk cheese, it's what's here. And it's what's local.
The Brown and Grace family spent countless hours researching, locating, and traveling to purchase Alabama-grown food. They say it's a radical and, right now, unsustainable lifestyle. But they hope it won't always be. For WBHM, I'm Hayden Holmes Brown.